And I love the message the Lord gave us through you, Judy. It's not my righteousness. It's not my being together. It's God's being together. God is glorious and God is good. And he can use the weak and the feeble and the crippled and the lame. So of course he can use me. So praise God for that. And then people came to me and testified of what the Lord is doing in their lives. A young man came to me and said, you quit smoking over a year ago. Hey, Jess. Yes, and he's praying regularly, and he's back home with mom and dad, and things are going good. The guy was shiny. He come and talks to me, and he had so many good things to tell me about his life, and they are all to do with relationship restored, with family, and with God. And that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And God is doing work in you, man. That's so good. It's so good. And then another testimony came, and there she is. There's Cassandra. Yeah. It's fine Cassandra time, and Cassandra really wants to, and I'm so glad, I really want you to share a testimony this morning.
Well, 2 years and a week to this day, I had to bring in Vincent. Some reason you wouldn't believe me, but 8 years ago, I had Pastor Dan up front when I dedicated Vincent, and he said he'd help me raise him in the God's eye, and light, and truth, and way. So when I brought Vincent in after Grandpa died, and he wouldn't believe a word I said, I was lost. I sat at home praying. I'm like, what do I do? Where do I go? How do I make my son see the truth? Brought him past Dan. I don't know what he said. I have no idea, but my son came out believing me again.
Yeah.
And that's
that was God, because I don't know what I said either. But God knows what he's saying all the time. All the time. Amen, amen. And don't you just love what God is doing? I mean, I've watched Vincente. I've watched him grow up from a tiny little dude, and he's becoming a great young man. I love that. Good, what God is doing. Wow, it seems like forever ago, but we were in John 17 reading what is referred to as the Lord's Prayer, but it's not the Lord's Prayer as we know it. It is a prayer of our Lord Jesus just after Passover meal, just prior to his arrest, just prior to the reason we celebrate communion. It was right after his communion, the first communion, the Last Supper. It was right after that, the upper room experience, the Passover meal that they enjoyed, if you will, together, and just prior to his arrest, just prior to his betrayal. He was just hours from the cross. This is John 17, if you would turn there. The Lord was just hours away from the most cruel and heinous treatment that anyone could imagine, and soon he would be nailed to the cross along with all our sin. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. A final evening of instruction to his disciples is recorded in this these chapters 13 through 16 of John. But in chapter 17, there's something amazing about relationship with we and our Lord. It's wonderful. And Jesus and the Father and Holy Spirit and all. It's just amazing. All this, it's all about relationship. And really, isn't everything about relationship? If we can get relationship with God right, I think everything else just is gonna start to work better. It's gonna start falling together. If we are obedient to God's directing, Holy Spirit teaching, the love of Jesus shining out of our lives, I just know we're gonna be better. We have to be. Of course we will be. So we read in John 17, verse 9, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept. And none of them is lost except the son of perdition. That is, of course, Judas. that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. In the world, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into, the world, I also have sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Did you catch that? The world. The world, on and on and on. Jesus is not of this world. We are not of this world. We will be hated of those in this world. This world is not our home, amen? Amen. We are not of this world. And Jesus is praying for us then and there. Yeah, it's for the believers surrounding him that night and those who had heard and believed the story, the glory of Jesus. They were followers, and Jesus was praying for them, but he's praying for us too, because of what it says in verse 20. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through the word. Isn't that great? Those yet to believe. That's me. That's you. We are those he was praying for that night. And you know, prayers are living. Prayers don't just go up and have a shelf life and have an effectiveness for only a season. But prayers, can you imagine the prayer of Jesus? You know that's alive forever. Those words never die. Those prayers never end. They have no conclusion. So when he says, I do not pray for these alone, these around me, these in the present, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they also may be one, as you, Father, and are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. Wow. We are not of this world. Jesus says it again and again. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. We are not of the world. Twice, very specifically, he uses those three, four words, not of the world. But it's more than that. We are not going to fit in. We don't fit into the world. As Christians, we were never meant to fit in. We were meant to stand out. You see the difference? We are not to be like the world and blend into the world and be inconspicuous. We are to be very conspicuous. We are standouts. In fact, I would hope that if the day ever comes that this becomes a police state, if you will, that our land becomes a place where Christians are hunted down. I hope they recognize I was one. I am one. I hope that people can say, I know where there's one. That Dan Marchuk, there's a Christian. Get him. Amen. I want to be that man. I don't want to hide. Are we supposed to hide? No, we are supposed to be a city on a hill. You know what a city on a hill is like? All around is valley. But look, there's that city on a hill. You know what people of light are like, because this world is a dark place? Look over there. There's a light. Look, there is one that's altogether different. There's a standout. There's one who actually diminishes darkness. There's one who is significant. In fact, is peculiar, is unusual, is so odd. Look at that. There's something different there. If we fit in, what are we? The world. We're the world. We're just more of the same. The same old, same old. I had a pastor friend. I still have him as a friend. But he believes we should be relevant to the world and like the world so that they feel comfortable around us. So he has no problem with speaking worldly language, if you will. And you know what kind of language I'm talking about? Foul language and you know, coarse humor and that sort of thing and rough kind of conversation. And I disagree. We should not sound like the world. We should sound altogether different so that when somebody says, this isn't working, I don't fit, this world is not enough, there's nothing in this world that satisfies me, I have searched for this and that and pleasures and so on, and it doesn't meet my core need. There's something more. There's got to be something more. And then they see a Christian and go, you're different. You're not like everyone else. Even if 99 are one way, be that one. Be that one that is different. That one that people can go to. Isn't it great? I love that Betty has this friend, and she wasn't she's not a believer, but when trouble came into this lady's life, and her daughter was ill, and she went to Betty because she's that praying lady. She's that, you know, that lady. I got trouble. Who do I go to? Do I go to the person who I like to party with? Do I go to the person who I have great pleasure with? Do I go to that person who has the best and dirtiest, coarsest jokes that I always laugh at? Do I go to that? No, you go to that one who's the praying lady. You go to that one who's a godly man. You go to that one who has wisdom. You go to that one who just seems to know how to handle trouble. You've watched them in their trouble, and you'd say, something different. When trouble comes, they seem to somehow rise above it. There's something just altogether different. That's what we need to be for the world, so that they can find us, for goodness sake. If we're all under some disguise, undercover, they'll never find us when they need to. We are not of the world, amen. We are not to fit in. We were never meant to fit in. We are to stand out. We are indeed sanctified. In verse 17, it says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Well, if your word is truth, and if we are sanctified by your word, we better get the word in us. Amen. Are you in the word? Are you in the word? Do you know the word? When you read one scripture, does it remind you of 10 more? When somebody speaks a scripture to you, you just go, oh man, that just speaks to my heart because this is what happened. I got a testimony because, you know, it's just, is it alive or is it a dead thing? God's word is alive. It's living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's amazing. It's glorious. It cuts through. But if you don't have the word in you, what do you got? You got the world in you. Press out the world, fill up with the word. What a difference. And when trouble comes, and trouble will come, it always does, for in this world you will have trouble. Jesus said it himself. Not maybe and not sometimes, but you will. And if you're not having some now, you will have some soon. And if you don't have it today, somebody else does. Pray for them. Tell them something of God's word that will encourage and comfort them. Not condemn them and judge them, but lift them up. Not put them down, but bless them and speak life and love into them. Do that and you will see God's word living and moving and active, and it always does what it was meant to do. God's word is always right. It always hits the target. My goodness, what a thing. But if you don't have it in you, it can't flow out of you. Simple like that. We are sanctified. We are set apart. Separation. No. Sanctification. We are to live in the world. Jesus said, I don't want, Lord, that you would take them. Father, do not take them out of the world, but while they are here, sanctify them. Cover them so that they can be in this world and not get the world all over them. Judy just loves this from Madagascar. You know the cartoon movie, and I think it's the giraffe, and he's such a crazy giraffe, right? He's from that other TV show, Friends, and he's a goof, and he's a giraffe that's been raised in captivity, and that's been his world, and then when he gets out in nature, in, you know, Madagascar, he's just, oh, nature, get it off, you know, get the world off of you. Get the word into you. And then when the world comes, it'll thus far no further. You know? I mean, by all means, you that way you can be in it, but it doesn't get in you. We want for that. We want to be different, not separate. We do not separate ourselves. We do not lock ourselves in a way in a little holy huddle and wait for Jesus. Wait for Jesus. He'll come soon, you know? And what a waste that would be. What a lifeless experience. No, our sanctification is a walk. It's a journey. It's a whole lifetime. And it's being set apart, but not so that we would be separate. We are set apart so that we can go into the world and be something that they so desperately need. They need Jesus. We need to be Jesus. Amen. And did you catch that? We have an enemy in this world. Oh yeah, we know that. And I read it just recently, and yeah, we seem to overestimate the enemy. We give him far too much credit. And meanwhile, we underestimate our God. And we don't give him enough credit. We don't realize how mighty, glorious, and powerful, awesome our God is. And meanwhile, this little dog, I'm going to keep calling him that. He's a dog. The enemy is a dog. And he is on a leash. He can go so far and no further. And he is singular. He is not God. He is little. And when we finally see the enemy under our heel once and for all, we will see how small he was. And then when we finally see our God, oh, we will behold how big he is, how glorious and good he is. But we are hated by that enemy. Yeah, he is roaring. He's what is he, roaming about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can shred, he can destroy, he can tear up and devour. So in this world, yeah, we will face persecution. We here in Canada, so far so good. But I'll tell you what, there are places in the world, doubt for a moment that there are places in the world where there is just wicked atrocities, that Christians are being killed. I mean, we sang this song earlier about blessed are those who have been torn apart. They are being torn apart. There are thousands and thousands of Christians being murdered in our world. It's happening. It's happening. And it's getting worse. And it will get worse until the end. Because the enemy, he is roaring, but only for a season. God shall do great things. Meanwhile, while the enemy is destroying, there has never been such a surge of faith in this world. Many thousands. I watched a video yesterday of over 100,000 people they were not in a coliseum. They were in there was a stadium, but they couldn't fit in the stadium. The stadium only held 60,000. There was more like 160,000 people here at this place. So they actually had it outside the stadium, and tens of thousands came to Christ, and it's been like that every day during this evangelical meeting. It's been glorious, and there's been signs and wonders, and this is happening. In the very midst of persecution, the church is growing. God is doing. Yeah, the enemy is killing. God is bringing life. For one, for a thousand, for a many are coming to Christ right now. And the church, I'll tell you what, the church needs to be on our knees in prayer for those. We're safe, but they're not. And they're our brothers and sisters. Be in prayer for them. We are indeed hated by the world. And we are also sent into the world. Again, that is in the Word. That is in this prayer. I send them into the world. Jesus says so. Jesus had been in the world, and now his disciples were to remain in the world, and not just to occupy space until he comes, but we are to represent. In fact, we are described as ambassadors. Ambassadors. We are ambassadors of heaven, representing Jesus on earth. And where we stand is heaven's ground. We are ambassadors. We represent. Are you representing? Are you a light? Are you a city? Are you a beacon? But what sets us apart from the world then? Well, we are people of the Word. I spoke of that already, but I'll read these scriptures. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you, for I have given to them the words which you gave me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and I have given them your word. These are heaven-sent words. Do not think any less of God's word. The Bible is God's words. Yes, written by men. Inspired, every word inspired by God. Not vaguely or generally, but specifically, explicitly, every word is God-breathed words. The Bible is holy. It's wonderful. We are also people of joy. Are you? We read in verse 13, but now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Remember that scripture says Jesus, who looked to the joy set before him, suffered the cross. The joy set before him is you and me. It's the salvation. It's the restoration. It's the homecoming. It's the family of God becoming one again, becoming as it was always to be. It's joy. It's Christ's joy. Is that your joy? What a joy. It ought to be our greatest joy to lead someone to Christ. Has it been a while? Has it ever happened? Have you ever led someone to Christ? Or is that the pastor's job? I hope it's not, because it's all of ours. We are all to be in the ministry. We are all called to be ambassadors. We are all called to make disciples. The Great Commission isn't for clergy. The Great Commission is for every believer. Amen? And if it's for every one of us, if opportunity presents itself, and maybe it doesn't present itself, maybe you got to look for it. Maybe you've got to find opportunity. Maybe you've got to create opportunity. Maybe you've got to get to know your neighbor. You're in a complex with, what, like 6 units. Get to know them. Invite them all over for pie, and me, and we can have pie. And don't necessarily, you know, nail them with the scriptures the first night. It may take a long time. I led a guy to Jesus who, I mean, he was the most unlikely of characters to come to Christ. If you describe somebody as rough around the edges, that's not this guy. He was rough all over. And he tested me again and again. And I just continued to be a friend of his. We found some common ground, not worldly common ground. We enjoyed ATVing together. And at first we would go in a group of people, but after a while it was him and me. We'd go out riding together, and he would test me. He would tell me dirty jokes to see what kind of response I would give him, and you know, if I'd be so offended, or if I would laugh with him. And neither one was correct, but instead I just whatever, and we'd move on, and I would tell him something. We'd have conversation. We'd go back, and finally he said to me, "Okay." It was like I'd earned a right to say it. He goes, fine, go ahead, tell me. Tell me all about this Jesus. I remember, it's like it was just yesterday. We're sitting at the fire pit down in the valley after riding together, and it's just him and me. And, I mean, he's just being himself as usual, and I'm trying to be, you know, a Christian around him. And he just said, okay, fine, let me have it. Let you have it. What's that? He said, no. Go ahead, tell me, what's the deal? What's this Jesus about then? Go ahead. It was like I'd earned the right, the privilege to speak life, to speak truth into his life. And I did, and he received Jesus right there. But it took the better part of a year. So if you think, you know, you can do it like that, you just walk up and say, hey, you want to know Jesus? Yes, I do. And they just receive Jesus on the spot. And yeah, I want to become a member of your church. And, you know, and oh, that's my new Bible. I'm awesome. And it just doesn't happen like that. It usually takes a long time. It took a long time for me to come to Christ. And it was a journey. And so do that. Let's be people of the word and people of joy, and be sure that we need to be in service and prepared for service. I also see something else, that Jesus goes on again and again about being one, that we are one as he is one in the Father. We, the, Christ in God, God in Christ, we in Christ, and we are all given to Jesus from God, and so he gives them back to God. You know, is there oneness there? I believe so. There's unity there. Are we in unity, or are we adversarial? I mean, especially in the church, I hope we are one. And when people hear you talk about your church family, I hope they get that you're not condemning, criticizing, judging, critiquing your church brothers and sisters. Be one in Christ. Be amazing in Christ. Be just so significantly different, because the world is looking for different, I assure you. That's why they chase after every new thing. But the best thing is this old thing, salvation. The best thing is Jesus. Be one. Be made perfect in one, Jesus said. If you're not one, you're not perfect. We would be perfect if we could be just one. It's wonderful. All for one, and one for all. So that the world will know that Jesus sent us. We better represent. And we are loved. Even Jesus is loved. Even as Jesus is loved by the Father. In fact, he says, and you have loved them as you have loved me. We are carriers of Christ's love. It's like a torch. Kind of like what they say about somebody who had an unrequited love, carrying a torch for someone, right? You know, I've been carrying a torch for one. So that's what the saying goes. But we carry a torch. We carry a light. We carry love, and we share that with everyone we can. I hope it comes off like that. Man, again and again, I have to tell you, I got to work on that. I got to practice that, because sometimes the world sneaks into my heart again, and I speak hard words, or I'm not very kind. Just for the smallest thing, somebody butting in line just yesterday at Tim Hortons. Yes, I know, but I needed my ice cap. And somebody butted in on me, because, you know, I'll serve the next one in line, the guy says, and this little guy's right behind me. I just, how did, she's fast. And I said, excuse me. I believe he meant the next in line. And, you know, oh, man. And the Lord spoke to me afterward, because if I'd have let that one go, I'd have gotten a better ice cap. Yeah. Because I ordered my ice cap a very specific way, and it did not come out that way. It was horrible. And it just goes to show, if I had just, I do believe the Lord wanted to just draw my attention. You know, you did that wrong. And for that, have a lousy ice cap. You know, it can be like that. It really can. You think, no, that's just silly. Well, I am. And so God sometimes talks to me in those sorts of ways. And I actually had to come, you know, oh, I'm in a hurry. I got out to the car and I'm tasting it. This is awful. It's like, I'm worried about what he did to it. And I took it back in. I said, yeah, I don't think this is right. There's something not right here. And they made me another one. It looked altogether different. Tasted real good. But, you know, it just goes to show, it took an extra 10 minutes. I was in a hurry a minute ago, huh? And, you know, instead of just being such a tool all the time, oh, just breathe in, breathe out, relax, slow down. Give God the glory. Look, maybe that was on purpose. Yeah, it was. It was on purpose. And I should have just been gracious and gentle, and I wasn't. We got to smarten up about that, because we are carriers of Christ's love, and I clearly dropped the ball. And finally, and wonderfully, and it is finally, we are citizens of heaven. Reading in verse 24, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am. Well, where is Jesus? He is at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. He's still praying for us. That's where Jesus is. That's where he began. That's where he is. That's where he belongs. He is at the right hand of the Father. He belongs in the very highest place of honor next to God. That they may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. Yet Jesus' glory is in heaven. That's where he is glorious. On earth, he took upon himself the likeness of man. He became flesh and dwelt among us. It was a glimpse of glory. There was moments of glory. All of the deity dwelled within him, but it was shrouded in humanness. It's something. It's like he laid down deity and took up humanity. Again, a mystery. It's beyond us. You can take offense. You can go, well, that's not quite the way you should have said it. There's more to it. Of course there's more to it. And I can't say it perfectly because no one can. It's too amazing. It's too wonderful what Jesus did. But his glory in heaven, now that we will see, we will see him as he is. And then scripture goes on to say, and we will be like him. We will be like him, joint heirs with Jesus. Unworthy, unworthy. I don't get that. How can we be joint heirs with Jesus? As he calls God Father, we too call God Father. And we are brothers and sisters of Jesus. That just blows my mind. That where I am, they may be also. That they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. This eternal Jesus has invited us into this wonderful relationship, and ultimately, we will go home to heaven. We will have a great and glorious homecoming. Wonderful thing. Praise God. Language like this reminds us of a Hans Christian Andersen story about the ugly duckling. Its appearance and behavior was actually obnoxious to the pond-bound ducks among him. That's where he spent the early part of his existence, his life. The persecution and pain that this ugly duckling endured from others in its limited environment made life miserable until this ugly duckling finally realized its nature was not that of a duck, but of a swan. Since swans are unwelcome creatures in this duck land, one day it finally flapped its wings and flew away. In the closing of the story, Andersen tells us, and I quote, "Before it knew how all this happened, it found itself in a great garden where the trees smelled sweet and bent their long green branches down to the channel that wound past. Oh, here, it was so beautiful. Such a gladness of spring." Eventually, Christians too, we too, will go to the land where others possessing the same nature of Christ will gather in joy. But for now, it's clear from our Lord's Prayer that we had better learn to live and to minister in duckland. We are swans. We were never meant this world. We were meant for better, for glory, for oneness, for heaven, for family. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Holy is your name. Lord, you altogether are worthy. Hallelujah, Lord. And God, but in the meanwhile, we who are of the world, God, help, well, we pray right off the start, get the world off of us, Lord. Whatever is sticking to us, whatever is stinking on us, whatever is worldly and preventing us from rightly representing you, whatever is a hindrance, God, away with it. And if there be things of this world that we can use to give you glory, things that you have given us, talents and treasures and our time, Lord, that we would give it back to you in ways that glorify your name, in ways that draw people, draw the lost to the light. God, I pray that you would help us to rightly represent you. So yes, indeed, get the world off of us. But then, Lord, help us that we would be effective ministers in this world to your glory and for the furtherance of the kingdom. God, we need for that. We want for that. And Lord, yeah, there's trouble. And we're facing persecution. We're struggling. We're sometimes following worldly advice and chasing after worldly treasures. May our pursuit be for you. May our hearts be for you. May we seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. That we would draw near to you, Lord God, and the things of this world would just grow strangely and dim. Just that they would fade away, and that you would focus our hearts and minds on you. Oh God, help us, we pray. In Jesus' name. We all said, amen, amen, amen. What do you have in mind, Majudy?
Blessed assurance.
Blessed assurance. Hallelujah.